Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
You got a question for RLM?
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca L. Norrington, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, Student of the Universe, constantly seeking happiness specialist. Who the hell? Who does she think she is? Well, let me just start right at the beginning. I have a lot of new people following. Organically, the show is growing. The show is actually going to be on live. You'll be able to see me live on video on Fireside beginning Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's right, live on Fireside at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time starting Thursday. Wow. Woo! Anyway, let me just start from the very beginning. When I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that looked like. I had no idea. I didn't have anything specific. I just said, I want to live to my potential. And then I wanted to be happy. So I wished for the same two things, live to my potential and I want to be happy. Live to my potential and I want to be happy. And what I discovered, this wanting to be happy and finding happiness has become a lifelong study for me, lifelong devoted study, commitment, prioritizing. I mean, it is the number one in my book. And let me just share with you my definition of happiness before I go on. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace, the ability to vibrate peace regardless of what happens, and regardless of what doesn't happen. Happiness is the ability to vibrate peace regardless of what's happening and regardless of what doesn't happen. Happiness is a state of mind. It is a practice skill. It is a vibration. It's an energy. It's a foundation. When I say happiness is a practice skill, the practice becomes daily. The practice becomes in every moment. The practice never lets up. You don't get a break. You don't get vacations. You don't get any time off. The practice is relentless. The practice is ongoing. The practice is, I think I said this already, endless. I'm saying it again because it's just endless. But I'm here to tell you with my left hand up in the air, I'm here to testify the rewards cannot be measured. You know, if you listen to the show, you know that I was highly insulted in September 2017, highly insulted. And the insults, when I introduced myself as a happiness specialist, the insults just started flying. And I don't want to forget any of them. And one of them was, happiness specialist looking for happiness? Well, you're toxic. Can you imagine someone calling me toxic? Yes. Walter O'Brien, IQ 197, said I was toxic. He also said that I've contributed zero to the planet. Zero to the planet. The searching for happiness and inner peace is delusional. And whatever I've accomplished in my life can't be measured. Therefore, I've accomplished nothing. I'm selfish. And if the people that I counsel don't employ at least 1,000 employees, then I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting their time. And when I say the practice, happiness is a practice skill, that practice enabled me when this gentleman was saying all these, my favorite was selfish and toxic, and I wasted all my, well, I guess all of the insults were my favorite. But can you imagine the ability just to laugh, to be able to laugh? I mean, full-hearted belly laugh. We took a selfie after I was insulted. And why? Because the practice is real. The practice is, and this is going to go right into our topic of tossing and turning through life storms, because I get a lot of questions now that the show is getting more popular about how the hell can you be happy? How the hell can you say you can be at peace in the middle of a storm? How does that work? Is that even possible? Well, it's just like practicing any new skill. You learn how to ride on a two-wheeler. You know, you learn how to drive a stick shift, and what you practice comes back automatically. So the practice in that moment is not taking anything personally. I don't care if somebody is calling your name, screaming your name. Never take anything what anyone says personally, and that includes anyone, strangers and family alike. That's one of the practices. Number two, words innately do not have power. So when you practice, that means that no one can hurt your feelings, no one can insult you, no one can offend you. That means that words don't have any power. That means that you are not affected by words. But I digress. Let me just share something else, because I want to stay on that topic. Whatever anybody calls you, whatever anybody labels you, so they label you arrogant, they label you selfish, they label you toxic, they label you a racist, they label you whatever they label you, they are really speaking about themselves. They are really talking about themselves, and I've talked about this more than once. But it is a practice to remember. What does the man with the hump back? What does the man with the hump in his back want more than anything else? He wants you to have a hump too. Misery loves company. Whoever is angry and whatever words they are spouting out at you, guess what? They are describing themselves. Isn't that a relaxing place to come from? So it doesn't matter what they're calling you. It doesn't matter what they're labeling. No, and this is not a popular one, because people love to point the finger and say it's you, and you are labels galore. From angry to racist to narcissist, that's the new one now. And so I'm telling you, whatever is described, however they're describing you, they're really describing themselves. Nobody wants to hear this. Trust me, I didn't want to hear it either. So let me get back to the truth about happiness, which is really the title of the show. The truth about happiness. You know, I took a break last week, but let me share with you, and I don't remember if I talked about it. Did I talk about this? It's okay to repeat. You all remember Will Smith, you know, the guy, Fresh Prince from Bel-Air, and then he started doing movies. Movie star, blockbuster. I mean, this guy, talk about accomplishments. And I'm not going to say any, but most people would describe Will Smith as a successful man, actor, businessman, family man, successful. The word, the definition is successful. So I was reading an article, and this was, let's see, this was October, I believe. No, it was November 2021, not too long ago, less than 6 months ago, November 2021. It was in GQ. And so Will Smith was being interviewed. And I'm just going to read what he said. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so it's saying that Will Smith, to describe Will Smith as a, Will Smith is what he's done is comedic and inspirational. But even though he's gotten everything he set out for, the Grammy, the global fame, beautiful and successful wife, children who themselves are superstar, Will Smith wasn't happy. Can you imagine? That's what he said. Regardless of all the success, regardless of all the accomplishments, regardless of all the fame, the acclaim, the money, I'm not happy. And so that is the running theme. The search is, let me back up a little bit. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are you searching for? Is it to reach goals, accomplish goals? What is it? What is it? What, on a scale from 1 to 10, and I ask this throughout all the shows, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your own life? And what's your definition of happiness? Who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? And are you as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? Let me get back to this happiness thing. The other study I like to cite at the beginning of the show is a study done by Bronnie Ware, who is a hospice nurse, and she did a study of her terminally ill patients. These people had weeks to live, days to live, months to live. And she asked them what were their five biggest regrets. The five biggest regrets of the dying kept coming up over and over and over again. The five biggest regrets of the dying: number one, I wish I had pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And number five, I wish I would have let myself be happier. That says it all, folks. At the end of the journey, at the end of the line, what is the biggest gift you can give to yourself? That's a question only you can answer. We're all headed that way sooner or later. So what is it? What is it that's going to bring you peace? And I'll give you a little hint. It's nothing outside of self. It's nothing outside. There's nothing out there. It's nothing to accomplish. It's nothing to achieve. It's none of that. Let me get to today's topic about tossing and turning. I hear this question all the time. How is it possible to find peace in the middle of the storm? And I got a phone call this week, and this person is very close to me, was just going through it. In fact, they described it as just being tossed and turned in a washing machine with no lights, with no way out. And it wasn't only just the tumble, it was the spin dry, it was a whole big mess. You know, when the thoughts just are just so consuming over, and they're usually negative thoughts, critical thoughts, what's wrong, anxious thoughts, piling up. You know what I'm talking about. In this particular instance, which is really interesting, is that the stories, the thoughts, had something to do with something later that evening. So this was 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and the event wasn't even going to start until 5 o'clock in the evening. But it doesn't matter when the thoughts come. And so this is the topic for today's show. What happens when you're tossing and turning? You know, life has you tossing and turning, the thoughts endless, on and on, just Listen, I haven't been able to stop my negative thoughts or my negative thinking, but I definitely have a plan and I definitely have a practice when that happens, especially when the focus, when it seems like the mind or the ego grabs a hold of these thoughts like a pit bull and doesn't let go. And you know what I'm talking about, like a pit bull. It is just will not stop. What do you do? Is it possible to find peace in the middle of the storm? And the answer is yes, and how? Here we go. Don't you love solutions? Here we go. The first practice, you're in the middle of the storm, you're in the middle of these thoughts, you're excessive thoughts that just will not stop. Your head is going to explode. The first part of the practice is to accept whatever you're doing and however you're feeling and however it's looking. I don't care how, quote, unquote, bad it feels. I don't care how anxious you are. The first practice is surrender to it and accept. And you know, before I start with the steps when you're in the middle of the storm, let me say this. Develop a relationship with the universe. Develop a relationship with God. Develop a relationship with your higher power. And I mean a constant moment-by-moment conversational relationship. And it's okay if you don't hear anything, but having a conversation with God, with the universe, is a constant practice. And I'm not nice to them all the time either. Trust me, they're not on my good side. I curse them out plenty of times, plenty. But the first part of the practice is when you're going through anything, is accept the moment. Accept the moment instantly. Number two, along with acceptance, it is a practice that just comes to you when you practice enough. You know, it's just second nature. It becomes who you are. The second part of the practice is to immediately trust that whatever is happening in this moment, including these anxious thoughts that don't necessarily feel too comforting, including that is happening for a divine reason. Including the thoughts that do not comfort you or in the state maybe you don't feel they're serving you. But I'm here to tell you the first part of the practice is acceptance of those thoughts. And what they're doing, how you're not able to maybe be distracted. Acceptance, and then automatically trust that you know that whatever this experience is, including how uncomfortable it feels, that it is there to serve you. The third thing, the other practice, I mean, in all these practices, everything is just simultaneous. You just don't do one after the other. It's a simultaneous accept, trust. The other thing is practicing patience. The other thing is to practice patience. Who knows how long a tsunami is going to last? Who knows how long an earthquake is going to last until it's over? These forces of nature, these moments that I wouldn't necessarily design or ask for, no, I wouldn't, are there for a reason. And how they play out and how long they last is also something that is in divine order. So our responsibility or our job is to have patience. Have patience with the process. It's just like the waves coming in and the waves going out. Waves coming in, waves going out. So sooner or later, that place of feeling anxious and maybe not necessarily you would have chosen that to experience, that's not permanent. It's not going to last. Just like 4th of July, the fireworks don't last. The other side of the coin, it doesn't last either. Life is fluid, always moving, flowing, changing. And so that state, that tossing and turning, that in the eye of the storm, in the eye of the needle, that's going to be gone eventually. So the other practice is patience, having patience. Now, the other practice, so here we go. Let's recap. Accept, number one, trust that whatever is happening is serving you. Number three, have patience. Number four, here we go. However you're feeling, regardless of what the thoughts tell you, whatever that feeling is, you know, we label it good or bad, you just whatever that energy is, whatever you're feeling, the practice is not to attach a story to it. The practice is not to attach a story to it. In other words, you're feeling a certain way, but it has nothing to do with what your mind or your ego will tell you is the reason why. This is a real interesting practice because we were not brought up to not have a story to why we're feeling the way we're feeling. There's always a story. There's always a reason. We were programmed to come up with a reason why we're feeling this way. And usually 100% times out of 100%, I'm just raising my hand because I used to do the same thing, is blame something outside of self for why I'm feeling a certain way. I'm feeling this way because, and it's always about someone else or something else or something didn't work or something. There's always some kind of predicament. It's like I Love Lucy. It's always some kind of scam, Lucy. It's always something. And that's the same with life. This life is relentless. It doesn't end. There's always something. It's inevitable. So when you realize that and you know that and you come from that perspective and you're open to the millions, billions of experiences, it'll be easier to just be open and let those experiences, just like clouds, come and go. Pass over, stay a little while, and then keep it moving. So the other part of the practice is to have patience. The other part of the practice is to be very mindful and be aware of attaching a story to a reason of why you feel a certain way. I know, we all have a story. But practice letting go of your stories. Who are you without your story? And if there's only one way, we talked about this endlessly, if there's only one way, if you can only perceive an event one way, which is negative, guess what? It's time to practice coming up with another perspective. So far we have accept, we trust, we have patience, and we let go of attaching a story as to why you're feeling a certain way. When a volcano is ready to erupt, when a tsunami is ready to tsunami, it happens. There's no story behind it. It happens when it's time to happen. So the feelings are real, but the why is a lie. That's not mine, that's Guy Finley's. But The feelings are real, but the why is a lie. Okay, and the other one, we talked about patience. The other thing, let me just share this with you. You'll find that on your journey, especially if you've committed to and you've prioritized making peace the number one priority, which you don't have to, but when you do, and you have a responsibility, you have a job in every moment, as it does, as you will, one of the things that you will find out is that your ego or your mind, the same thing, ego, mind, you know, that critical voice, those critical thoughts, one of the things that will happen is it will begin to sense. The ego, the mind, knows, is very, very, I mean, has evolved through millions of years and can sense when its light is getting dimmer. Meaning, it can sense when it doesn't have as much power over the individual. It can sense, the ego, the mind can sense when the focus is just not on the mind anymore. The focus or the beliefs or the perspectives are all universal. The ego gets very, very, very frantic. Talk about anxious. Talk about temper, out of control, will do anything. The mind, the ego will do anything to stay alive. So know that while you're on your journey, you may even experience even more times of, I'm just going to say, I like the word challenge, but it's times of challenges. And so when that happens, know that ego is fighting for its life, fighting to breathe, longing, fighting, needing to breathe, needing to survive. And that's another reason why it could feel very intense. I call it drama squared. You know, the mind will come up with some drama and add drama on top of the drama on top of that. It's like adding 5 layers of icing. The mind will do anything to stay alive. So now you have it. Now you have tools. Now you have tools. Number one, whenever you're feeling in the middle of the storm, and okay, this is another one. Exhale. Do a lot of exhales, please. A lot of breathing out. A lot of exhaling. A lot of exhaling. Practice acceptance without resistance. Oh, here's a moment that I might not have necessarily chosen. I wouldn't have chosen this on the menu, but here it is. It's dropped in my lap. Number one, acceptance. Number two, trust. Trust and know that this moment, even though as uncomfortable as it feels, is there to serve you. You may not know exactly why in the moment. You may not know in 6 months, 6 weeks, but I'm here to tell you, trust. You have enough evidence in your life, trust, to know that that is the truth, that it is there. Whatever you are facing is there for you, is there to serve you, is there coming from a higher place. It's an opportunity for more consciousness, more growth, more self-awareness. Practice patience. The practice of patience cannot be stressed enough. The practicing patience, regardless of what it looks like, that starts in every day. Just start by stop rushing. Just stop rushing. I'm never going to rush again, ever. And so when you practice that, you do less rushing, and then you have more patience. It's just a practice. Practice being patient with yourself. And when you practice patience with yourself, you automatically have patience for others. The other thing is let go of the story that the ego and the mind wants to attach to however you're feeling, whatever you're feeling like. Let go of that story. Is that story even true? Who wrote that story? The other practice is know that the ego, that the mind is doing anything it can to stay alive. It will have you thinking that you are a lunatic. It will have you thinking that you are depressed. It'll have you thinking that you are lonely. It'll have you thinking that you're not doing enough. That you're falling behind. All of the thoughts. It's just a notice. It's just a witness. Witness those thoughts. No fuel. No fuel for you, ego. No soup for you, ego. No soup for you. So on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? And what's your definition of happiness? And the other questions I like to ask people is, can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? Most people raise their hand and say, yeah. Well, that's all the programming. What happens to you has nothing to do with your energy or your vibration. What happens to you has nothing to do with your peace, especially when you're living at the bottom, at the bottom of the ocean, and not up at the top where the winds and the storms are blowing. You're meeting life at the bottom of the ocean where it's calm and peaceful and quiet. You're not meeting life up at the top with all the storms. Now you can meet life at the top, where the waves and the storms have you crashing and tossing and turning. And you can even be at peace with that. You can toss and turn and still know the truth. The point is, accept it all. Life is an experience without judgment. Accept it all. Relax. Let go. Let these people go. You want to experience a little bit more happiness? Some of the behaviors that you can eliminate are, let's see, where's my list? I have a list. Some of the behaviors that that subtract from your happiness and you can practice eliminating are, and I'm going to start from the bottom. Hating or having disdain for anyone else, including hatred of self. You know this thing about I hate someone. You know, it always comes back to the feeling of self. You can't hate anyone without having a sense of hatred for self. It's impossible. Having a cause. Oh, so here we go. We're talking about behaviors that subtract from happiness. Having a cause. Now, let me be very clear with that. I'm not judging you having a cause or not having a cause, animal rights, global warming, you name it, whatever cause you have. The problem is not the cause. The problem is thinking that someone else should think that your cause is just as important as you do. The problem comes from the subtraction from happiness, the subtraction from peace comes from wanting someone else to think what you think is important. You think this is important, and now you think someone else should think that's important too. That's the problem with all causes, wanting someone else to believe the same thing that you believe, that you think this is important. I was speaking with a woman the other day, and she was talking about the murdering of trees. And she was telling me a story about a tree that was being murdered, and she actually started crying. And I asked her, I said, you're crying over a tree? And the thing is, the cause isn't the issue. It's the cause is not what causes the suffering. The cause is wanting someone else to think that suffering that you that you need to think that is important too. And I know I've said it a million times in a million different ways, but I just wanted to clarify that. How about this? identifying with your body. Well, what does that mean? That means that this body that I'm in right now is going to go through a lot, is going through, has going through, will go through a lot of changes. And am I my body? Am I my body? I'm consciousness. I'm using my body, but I'm consciousness. I'm not my body. So my point is, if for whatever reason I'm just not my body. That's another practice. Thinking that there is anything that you should do. All inspired action, but this should action that subtracts from peace. This is something I should do. The vibration is even. You can feel the difference. There's something I should do, and there's something I'm inspired to do. Two different vibrations. Which one feels better to you? How about this one? This is another thing that subtracts from happiness. Having an agenda. And that's with anybody you're talking to. And it has nothing to do with business. Business meetings, of course, you have to have agendas. But I'm talking about in a personal setting with any person, from your children to your husband, your wife, your partners, your any significant other, having an agenda, wanting them to do something, wanting them for their betterment, of course. This would help them. Having an agenda for someone else subtracts from peace. Thinking life has to be fair. I know this is a tough one, but life is not fair. It's never been fair. And what is fair anyway? In the animal kingdom, life is just not fair. And it's not about blaming someone for being unfair. It's about accepting that life doesn't always have to be fair, and it's not. And so are you okay with life not being fair? Because if you're not okay, you're not going to be at peace. You're not going to find any peace. Focusing on, and I'm just reading a couple more, focusing on and or paying attention to numbers. This is a real popular one. It's numbers from social media, numbers, like numbers, and I realize that people having businesses, you know, numbers matter. Numbers in the bank account, I know numbers matter in that sense. But there's an ego way about numbers meaning something, meaning numbers are there to make me feel a certain way. Anytime you're relying on a number, big and or small, so that you can feel a sense of satisfaction, a sense of accomplishment, a numbers. Just ask Prince about the numbers or Michael Jackson about the numbers. They have plenty of numbers all over the world. That's what I'm talking about, numbers. The other thing is lack of acceptance. We talked about that. Lack of acceptance, lack of personal growth, needing to be right, being critical of yourself and or others, taking anything personally, complaining about something you do not have control over. How many of you just complain without even realizing it? Those are some of the behaviors that subtract from happiness. Worrying, of course. Assigning a label to any experience. I said this earlier. Assigning a label. All labels require judgment. All judgments subtract from happiness. So what behaviors add to happiness? Number one, making a commitment to wanting to be happier, to valuing peace, to valuing that vibration of contentment. Surrendering to whatever is happening in the moment, humbling your ego, witnessing your ego, recognizing your ego, and dictating and deciding and controlling the role and the power your ego plays in your own life in making decisions. Acceptance of self, acceptance of others, trust, choosing your perspective, choosing your focus, being aware, telling yourself the truth, having a deep appreciation of life, all of which add to happiness, add to your peace. Whew. Recapping, what do you do when life tosses and turns? When you're tossing and turning through the storm, what do? You accept without resistance. You trust that, and you know that it is there to serve you. Whatever you're experiencing, you're getting exactly what you need. You're there to grow. You're here to grow. You have patience. Patience with however long it takes for the storm to be over. You just have patience. You let go of any story that you've attached to why you're feeling this way. And the last one is you realize that your ego is doing anything to survive. It will do anything to survive. Well, that's the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality Radio. The Truth About Happiness is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Visit my website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, will be out sometime this year. And until next week, also, I will be live on Fireside Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Fireside, get the app, download it. You'll be able to see me live. Woohoo! Face. I'm about to give you some face. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient. And love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill, and your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice in every moment. Have a conscious week.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh yeah. It's a new experience.
Reality spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers.
Reality spirituality.
Yeah, you gon' feel good.